All Flex No Dex is an adult podcast. If you compared us to movie ratings, we'd be rated R. See episode notes for details. Hello, and welcome back to Epi, everyone. Today we have with us Nicole.
Hi, everybody. I'll be playing Dinsbeat today, your gnome wizard who, you know, likes to make people happy, but doesn't want to try too hard to do that.
Never put in the effort. It's not worth it. then Jasper.
Hi, I'm Jasper. I'm playing Zinazeri. I am the Dragonborn Blood Hunter, and I like doing crazy things and collecting things and getting the little stories to my children.
And Zach.
Hi, everybody. I'm Zach, and I am playing Dandelion, the Bard.
All right, so last episode, the party encountered owlbears, pudding, dancing, and glitter. It was wild. Afterwards, they began their journey to the Dark Depths Mines. And at the end of the first day, they came to a Havling home, owned by an associate of Zen's named Fennel Witherrot, who also happened to be a fangirl of Dandy and his work. With a song and a signature, the party received room and board and four pairs of magical boots. They were warned of a dragon spat happening in the area, and the party parts ways with Fennel, starting their day two on this trip to the Dark Depths Mines in search of another shard. And that is where we begin today's adventure. Jasper, why don't you roll me a d6 to see what the encounter will be for this day?
The encounter will be a 2.
Doses. You guys are riding along on your various mounts. What are your mounts' names again?
Dinsbeat's pony is named Prancy Feet. Prancy Feet the pony.
Zen's draft horse is named Pudding after the events of a few days ago.
The pudding incident?
Yes, Zen changes her horse's name all the time because she is not good with names and she forgets.
Andy's dog is named Roscoe, but is considering changing it.
Be more creative.
I know.
It's on day two. You guys are traveling the rolling grasslands here. And you crest over a large hill. And you guys hear a ruckus of commotion and hollering. As you guys get up over the hill, I'm assuming you get off your mounts just to make sure you don't bring your mounts into something combat-wise. And you guys get over the hill and you peek over. And on the other side, you guys witness two dragon worms in mortal combat with each other. There's a black dragon worm and a brass dragon worm. The black dragon clearly has the upper hand.
Oh, this is the feud that we were warned about by Fennel.
Suppose we should go around or intervene?
Well, I mean, if we intervened, we might make a friend of the brass dragon if we can all work together and win that fight.
As you're saying this, is time still progressing as you're conversing. The black dragon, who if it's the same pair that Fennel told you about, is his named Dreadwing the Fowl. The brass dragon is known as Kragnor the Bold. A shout out to Namo Plays D&D from Twitter. He gave us those names.
Woo!
The black dragon hollers out, "Boy, I'm sick of your shit. I'm taking those farmers. Best get the fuck out of my way." And Kragnor whirls up and he kind of like sits up tall and Kragnor goes, "You will not. I will stop you here. Dreadwing, you may bugger off. You will leave these farmers alone." And Dreadwing goes, "Oh, fuck you. Fuck this. Oh, I'm gonna eat your ass."
Ah, oh, fuck, we better help. Which side are we picking? Just kidding. Let's go help the bronze dragon.
Come on, Zen.
I know, I was kidding. It's a joke.
Your evil is showing again.
Zen's been drinking. It turns out the pudding was alcoholic.
Apparently. Shall we help the dragon and gain some favor? I'm sure it'll help us in the long run.
I don't know. That seems really risky.
I mean, we were told to just ignore and get around it.
Yeah, we were told to give them a wide berth.
Do the dragons look like they've been actually physically fighting the whole time? Like, is one look more damaged than the other?
First off, you weren't specifically told to avoid them. You guys had asked how to not get in the middle of this spat because you weren't told that they're wormlings. Yeah, these are very young dragons. Fennel just told you to avoid them and go around them if you encounter them. So that was Fennel's advice. If you want to intervene, you...
How small are they?
They're the size of horses.
Oh.
So they're roughly within the same age range as the deep dragon that you fought.
So they're technically smaller than me. Great. Let's go.
No. A horse is a large animal.
Yeah, well, I have to ride a draft horse. So I was assuming the horse, like normal, like quarter horse size. Sorry, I'm a horse person. So sizes.
Well, I'm a D&D person, and D&D mechanics say all horses are large creatures. And it's consider them the size of draft horses. They are thick, they're large, they are bigger than you, but they are not as big as full grown adult dragons.
Gotcha.
Adult dragons get fucking huge. As far as whether or not combat has started, it has. The brass dragon does not look good. And like I said, it's clear that the black dragon has the advantage. As bold as Kragnor is, the brass dragon, it does not look good for him.
Dandy will try to sneak up around the back of the black dragon then.
Oh, here we go.
Wait, I have the box of tooth fairies. What is that? Let me read it again real quick. Hold on.
Here comes Zen just throwing a duck egg at it.
I could do that too, but I'm going to open my box of tooth fairies and ask them to retrieve the teeth of the black dragon.
Okay, everyone's going to have to roll initiative if you are engaging with them.
First, I'll make sure that Densby agrees because I can see Dandy walking off towards it. So, quick conversation.
I was resigned.
All right, then yeah, I'll, after initiative, I have to roll how many tiny fairies I get. So which would you like first?
Initiative, because it'll be your action pulling out the box and engaging the fairies.
Damn it, I want to do that before initiative. That's why I was trying to do it quickly, but I guess not.
Initiative is now.
Okay.
If you are engaging at all, initiative is now and you can do things.
Okay, got it.
That'd be a 4.
I got a 17.
I got a dirty 20.
Damn it.
Okay. Do you guys have any of those new boots that you got? Did any of you put those on and tune them?
I put mine on. I don't have to tune, though.
Okay. And were the rest of the boots just kept or traded?
Well, I was going to try out those boots of blinding speed.
Okay, so do you have those on then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have the boots of Fortin and Stunton, and then my two children have the boots of athleticism.
Okay. The duck and the dragon are just chilling in there. They don't gain anything special from...
Oh, no, I know. I just picked a random pair so we knew which ones we were talking about.
Okay.
For like when I decide to trade them when they're not sitting in them anymore.
All right. Dandy goes first, and you have the boots of blinding speed on.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Okay. With these boots, you need to decide where you're going before you go there, because you're going to be blind during that distance.
Behind the black dragon.
Okay. And you want to try to be stealthy about it?
Yes.
Okay. You're easily within distance with these boots on. You need to roll stealth at disadvantage.
Okay. 16.
Okay. Black dragons are oblivious. He does not notice you.
Perfect.
I'll allow you to do something else.
So, did that take my action?
Just your move action.
Okay. Is sneak attack only for rogues?
Yeah, it's a rogue feature.
Okay.
But you get to attack with advantage because he doesn't know you're there.
Perfect. I'm going to try and poke him.
Okay, right in the anus. Poke away.
With the 9 life stealer.
Ooh, sucking the soul out from the anus of a black dragon.
Hopefully.
It's a risky endeavor here, Dandy.
You wouldn't want it any other way.
Exactly. You're just going to hold on to that handle.
Glitter just immediately starts getting fucking everywhere.
Jabby jab. Got a 22.
That hits.
Okay. And it does 8 points of damage.
All right. You stab it in its dragony butt cheek. It is not happy. Turns back and says, what the fuck?
Hello. With those words for my bonus action, I'm actually going to go ahead and do unsettling words to him.
Okay.
As a bonus action, you can expend one of your use bardic inspiration and choose one creature you can see within 60 feet. Roll bardic inspiration die. The creature must subtract the number rolled from the next saving throw it makes before the start of its next turn.
Okay, so it gets a negative to its save via your bardic inspiration, which is a d6, yeah?
Yes.
All right.
So it's going to have a minus 6.
But don't I roll when I roll the save? Or do you roll right now?
It's roll the bardic inspiration die, which is the 1d6. The creature must subtract that number rolled from the next saving throw it makes before the start of your next turn.
Gotcha. Okay. So you rolled 6?
Yes.
Jesus. All right. And that is your turn. Zenizari, it is your turn.
Box of Tooth Fairies.
Read to me what Box of Tooth Fairies does again.
Once per week, as an action, you can release 1d12 tiny fairies who, upon being released, can be commanded to steal a tooth from an enemy. The imps take 8 hours to complete their mission. The target must make a DC saving throw. On a fail, they will have disadvantage on any attack rolls made against the owner of the box for 1d6 days.
Okay. Key words there were that it takes 8 hours for them to complete their mission.
Yeah, but it'll be annoying and distracting.
I'm going to say that... Go ahead and roll me an Arcana check.
Interpret that as it takes up to 8 hours for them to complete their task.
It says take 8 hours.
But the dragon's right here.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of travel. It's a matter of removing the tooth without actually causing harm to the being. The way it
I got 22.
Okay. The way that I read it was that they work the tooth out without the person really knowing that they're losing a tooth, and then their gums are all sore and they're more focused on how the hell did I lose a tooth?
Okay.
Well, if my arcane check doesn't really do good, then I guess I'll go with throw a duck egg at it.
But your arcane check was good.
Okay.
And I will allow, so just like with spells, I'll allow a manipulation of the box's effect. Okay. And so you bring out the fairies and you have them go remove one of the black dragon's teeth, but you urge them to do it now rather than taking their time.
Okay.
With the successful arcana check, you can roll a persuasion check to get the fairies to work hastily rather than what they normally do.
Persuasion check, and I rolled a 10, so I got 10 of the tiny fairies to come out.
Okay.
You have to roll for how many? And you said persuasion?
Yeah.
Dirty 20.
They immediately zoom off to the dragon.
Heck yeah.
They're going all up in its mouth. So that's your action. Fairies are summoned. You have a bonus action.
Alrighty, my bonus action. I'll invoke my Crimson Rite on my weapons.
Okay.
And that's it.
Do you want to move?
How far away am I?
Say you're about 40 feet.
I'll do my full movement.
Okay. Tell me, how do you persuade the fairies to go now? To hurry to get the black dragon tooth?
I will tell them... Well, they're not real fairies, are they? Are they just magic?
No, they're fairies.
Okay. I will tell them if they can get me the tooth I want from this dragon, I will set them free. I don't know how to do that, but that's what I say.
Okay. You feel a tingle about you. And they look at it and say, deal! And then they zoom off.
Perfect.
You made a pact with a fairy. I would suggest not breaking that pact.
I will set them free. I'm not sure how. I'll just leave the box open, and if they don't return, then they're free, is what it says. So if they don't return within 8 hours, I'd have to roll to see if they return. But if they don't return, then the box is destroyed, and the fairies are free, pretty much. So
as soon as they zoom off to the black dragon, the box immediately crumples in your hands.
Yes! I am rid of another weird-ass item. But they're really cool, though, at the same time.
The black dragon's turn. High or low, Dandy?
Low.
Not low enough, as he's going to turn his rage on you. And he's going to take a big old deep breath and spit acid at you. He's going to use his acid breath, which actually catches several of the fairies, and they just incinerate. I'm going to need a dexterity saving throw from you, Dandy.
Then definitely winces when a couple of the fairies die.
You guys are doing great. Oh.
I feel 18. Very sad.
What was that, Dandy?
18.
18. That's a save. So you only take half. So you take 8 points of acid damage.
Ow.
Then it is Dinsby, your turn.
Alrighty. So the black dragon has not yet rolled a save since Dandy did his thing, right?
Correct.
Okay. I am going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter on him.
What does that do, and what is the save?
A creature of your choice that you can see within range perceives everything as hilariously funny and falls into fits of laughter if this spell affects it. The target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or fall prone, becoming incapacitated and unable to stand up for the duration. A creature with an intelligence score of 4 or less is not affected. At the end of each of its turns, each time it takes damage, and each time it takes damage, the target can make another wisdom saving throw. The target has advantage on saving throws if it's triggered by damage. On success, the spell ends.
Okay. He failed. With that -6, he got a 4. So he breathes on Dandy and then just starts chuckling. Assumingly laughing at Dandy. Dandy, you don't realize the spell's been cast, but you assume the dragon is laughing at you melting.
He just starts off with like this low little chuckle, and then it grows to a cackle. And then it grows until he's just gales of laughter and falls over and is heaving and laughing.
Oh, yeah. You've never heard a dragon cackle, but this is a new experience for y'all. Probably also for the dragon, too.
Real quick, I forgot. The dragon needed to make a constitution saving throw for the fairies as well.
Okay, is that before or after the tooth is pulled?
It's when I cast it. It's you need to make constitution saving throw of 10 or higher. If he fails, then any attack roll against me is at disadvantage. So it doesn't nothing to do with taking the teeth. It just gives me an advantage on things.
The -6 will apply to that then. But Dinsby, he still failed. His save was an 11.
Oh, okay.
So with a -6, that is still a 17 save.
That save was, he had to do a 10 to save, so.
Right, so after the tooth is taken, nothing happens, right?
Nothing happens. He won't get disadvantage on attack rolls.
The box doesn't read as each fairy takes a tooth. It's all of them take just one tooth. Because then I don't understand the reasoning behind rolling for how many fairies come out of the box.
For RP, love. Don't read too much into the item.
I mean, if you want to make it interesting, I could get 10 teeth. Or, well, let's say 2 of them died, I'd get 8 teeth.
You're not going to take a full mouth of teeth from somebody.
Well, this is a dragon. They have a crap ton of teeth.
I thought that's what made the box scary, is that each fairy took a tooth.
That's what I thought at first too, but now that I'm reading it, it says a tooth.
Yeah, it just takes a tooth and you get disadvantage. It's not a super rare item.
But you're God, you can make it cool.
It was cooler my way.
Yeah.
I agree.
I didn't actually make the box, so we're going to use it the way it was made.
But the god can change anything.
Whatever. I already did. I allowed you to make a persuasion roll to do it right now.
So anyways, the laughing dragon, right guys?
Laughing dragon, and he's missing a tooth. The biggest canine he has.
It's still round one. He hasn't lost a tooth yet.
Okay, well that's the one I told him to get. Biggest tooth they can.
Okay.
Cosmos pain.
The dragon's going to completely ignore it with that massive constitution saving throw you made.
Woo!
Back to Dinsby. Dinsby, do you have a bonus action?
No.
Okay. Do you want to move?
Well, how far were we away from the dragons to begin with up at the top of this hill? Rise, whatever it was.
About 40, 45 feet away.
Okay. Then I would already have had to move up to 30 feet. So I'll stay at 30 feet.
It's Brass Dragon's turn. And he's going to breathe fire on the Black Dragon.
So when that happens, the Black Dragon gets to make another wisdom saving throw for Tasha's to end.
Okay.
And he gets advantage.
He's a dex saving throw. At disadvantage because he's prone currently. That still saves. And then he gets a wisdom saving throw. Right, Dinsby?
Yeah, wisdom at advantage because it's an attack.
Okay. That's a 14 to save?
Yes, just makes it.
Okay. So he's still prone now until his turn. And he takes 6 fire damage. He's engulfed in the Brass Dragon's flame. The Brass Dragon also saw Dandy, so he maneuvered it so Dandy wouldn't get caught in the fire breath. And that is his turn. Back to Dandy, round 2.
All right. Dandy's going to try for another poke jab at him.
Okay.
No bonuses because he's prone.
He is prone, so you attack at advantage.
Ooh. 18.
18 hits.
For 13 points.
Holy cow.
And
he's on death's door. He's hurting.
Too bad I can't finish him with a bonus action. But I will go ahead and do healing word on myself.
Yeah, what's the word?
Ow!
Zenizari, it is your turn.
I'm going to do my dragon's breath. He has to do a dex save for me. Yep. Pretty please.
And he is at a disadvantage because he's prone. That is an 11.
Fail. Awesome. So, let's see damage. He's going to take lightning damage. Going to take 9. Is that right? 9 lightning damage.
Zenizari, finish him.
I'm assuming I'm standing to the side of him, so I'm going to roar at him, and there's just going to be this big blue lightning bolt that just cracks right through his body, and it makes him light up for a second, so you can kind of like, when you put your like hand under a flashlight, you can kind of like see your bones-ish. That's pretty much what happens with his entire body as it goes through him and then just into the ground, and he just flops over.
Right.
I nice. Stand there all victoriously like, ha-ha, I'm the top dragon now.
as that's happening, you see the fairies pull a tooth out as he's getting electrocuted. And they jolt back, pop the tooth out, and the remaining surviving fairies, a couple of them got sizzled from the lightning too. They haul ass in the opposite direction of you and disappear from view with that tooth.
My tooth! How dare they? That's okay. I'll wrench the other ones out of a dead body. That's what I'm thinking anyways. I didn't say that out loud. I didn't say they had to give it to me, so that's fair.
That was my...
each of you enjoy 150 experience points.
Woo! I'll leave the talking to the bronze dragon to Den's beat, and I'm just going to walk over to the other dragon and start harvesting their teeth.
All right.
Kragnor says, "Oh, thank you, friends. You're just going to start cutting into it, are you? That's, you adventurers are grisly sort."
Just ripping his teeth out. It's fine. He won't feel it.
Oh, lords.
Don't mind her.
Does she always do this?
Yeah.
I give him an eye, like a look at him for a second, and I go back to what I was doing.
He kind of leans closer to Dinsby. Is she a cannibal?
I don't think so. I can't be sure.
Anyways, thank you. I am Kragnor the Bold. I appreciate your assistance.
Kragnor, I'm Dinsbeet. I'm a wizard by trade.
Well met, Dinsbeet. And you, other small creature. One with a glittery poker.
Ah, yes. I am the Dandelion. And then I give a nice bow.
Kind of like perks up. He says, "Dandelion, you say?"
Aye.
He leans closer. "The Dandelion?"
Ah, yes. I see I am well known out of here. This is good.
Oh, what a strange and rare occurrence. It is a pleasure to meet you. I've heard your stories.
Wow, Dandy, your reputation really precedes you.
Yes, yes. This is good.
Yes, excellent, yes.
Excellent.
I shall walk over, because pulling teeth shouldn't take too long.
Well, not if you're just smashing them out, no.
No, I pulled out the other big canine and the two bottom canines. They're just the big three biggest teeth, because they took the other one. And that's it. I don't take them all. I just take the biggest ones.
The teeth are fucking disgusting, but you have them.
Cool. They're in my bag.
How much experience did we get last episode?
It was 250 experience points each.
Okay.
And this one was 150?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll walk up to the dragon and introduce myself. And I'm just like, "I'm Zinazeri. Pleasure to meet you." And I put my head down for a second because, you know, full red dragon respect. And then I lean back up and I'm like, "I am not a cannibal, thank you." And then I onto my little dragon, petting him as my goose honks at me.
Duck. It's a duck.
Oh, excuse me. So my duck honks at me. Of course, Mr. Moose. And I pet him. His name is Mr. Moose, by the way, since he didn't actually have a name.
I'm glad he has a name, finally.
Yeah, he's Mr. Moose. He's very professional.
Kragnor addresses you, and he bows his head as well, and he says, "Appreciate the lack of cannibalism."
Of course.
And these little ones, and he kind of like reaches his dragon paw out to the tea dragons. They affectionately like they fly up and they kind of like fly around him and like nuzzle each other. He's, "Oh, how charming. Tea dragons. I thought they were all extinct."
No, the little red one is my little baby and their name is Fireclaw. Much interactive one. With Mr. Moose.
He holds out a dragon paw and Blitzwing comes up and lands on his paw and he says, "And this one's name." He reads the collar. "Blitzwing. Adorable. Go back to your owner, loved one."
Hold out my arm for Blitzwing to go ahead and come perch up on me.
He does, and then kind of like happily nuzzles around your neck.
I'd assume Mr. Moose went back to his boot and Fireclaw is just sitting on my shoulder like, "Ha-ha."
Yes.
Trying to be all big.
Kragnor says, "Well, if you'll excuse me, I need to go rest and check up on the farmers to make sure they're all right."
Did this one, the dark one, what was his name?
His name was Dreadwing the Fowl, the black dragon who's been an asshole.
Did Dreadwing have a lair of some sort or a place that he stayed?
Well, I would assume something I was going to go hunt later.
We can go and look for it.
If you don't mind, when you have rested, may we split what he has collected and or have some and you have the most?
I collect people. Mm. I have my own horde.
I'm sorry. People?
He ignores the question.
He is a protector of what he finds precious, Dandelion.
You can keep what's in his horde. I do not request it. You are welcome to join the farmers, though, and come live amongst us.
We have a mission of our own, thank you, and we shall hunt down his horde and see if there's anything that can help us protect the world we are trying to save.
Are you sure?
People.
You small wizard, you are precious and adorable. Would you like to ride on my back?
I definitely stand in front of the wizard, and this one is part of mine. Please don't poach.
I am adorable. Thank you so much.
Is there any way that I can tell that he is trying to enslave us?
He is. That's why I'm standing in front of you guys.
You roll an insight check.
Okay. Thank you.
Being very protective right now.
Dinsby really wants a ride, so be good to let him know if he's being poached or not.
That is a natural 20.
Well, I stood in front of Dinsby. Oh, like, no, Dinsby, you can sit on my shoulder.
With a natural 20 on your insight, he's not enslaving anyone. It's very likely that that group of farmers that he has, he just protects them and he considers those people his horn.
Okay.
He doesn't make them do anything, just like a dragon wouldn't make or use the items and coins that it has in its horde. It's just there, and he likes to look at them.
Would he allow the humans to leave?
What a creeper.
Yeah, he's a creeper.
Okay.
They know that he's there, though. They know that he protects them.
He allow them to leave if they want to leave?
Do you ask him this?
Dandy keeps getting ignored every time. He's like, wait, people.
I'll put my face down by Dinsby and like nuzzle his face. I'm like, don't stay. Like, I definitely need them, my short people, to stay. Otherwise, I don't know what to do.
Cragnor kind of like sits back on his haunches when Zenizari intervenes. He goes, so be it, I suppose. The Dreadwing's horde is likely in that direction, and he points off to your southwest. Probably, I would wager about a day from here. Look for, well, you'll know his lair. Black dragons are disgusting. They like to live in swampy rubbish. It's likely there's a mangrove there, something similar. It'll be fetid.
Got it.
That is a word. I don't know what that means.
Terrible.
That means gross and disgusting.
Ah.
Stinky, wet.
Accurate.
Disby, would you like to figure out what he may have collected, or would you like to have a ride? And I'll be watching you the whole time, because I know that's what you want.
As you're talking to Dinsby, Cragnor leans down to Dandy. He's going to roll a stealth check to see if he can say it without you two hearing. You guys do not hear this. Your passive perceptions are not high enough for this check. He leans down to Dandy and he says, you're welcome to join me too. I'll give you a ride and I have many stories to tell you. We can swap stories.
I'm currently looking for my own story right now.
Oh, but we can make such marvelous stories together.
Maybe some other time, buddy.
Very well. With that, if you have nothing else to say to Cragnor, he is going to make his way back to his farmers.
So, southwest?
Southwest.
That way we go.
Now boarding flight Dragon Horde on Southwest Airlines.
So, Tony, I have a question. Can I put my boots of speed on my dog?
No.
Your dog has 4 feet to make a set. I was going
to say, you'd have to have 2 pairs for this to work.
Your dog would also have a panic attack and just die.
Like Nala with her e-collar.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
like those videos of dogs with booties where they just pull their foot up and shake it to try to get off, then pull the other one up and shake it to try to get it off. And that's how they walk.
You'd be doing a like blinding speed.
It's terrifying.
20 feet instantly and then shake his foot like super fast.
Anyways.
So you guys travel for the better part of the day. You start getting into night. The sun sets and there's still a little bit of light out. And it's enough to see up ahead of you. There is a, looks like a derelict chapel. And it's hard to tell here with the low light and the distance, but this is likely what the lair is. You want to guys go investigate it?
You know what I got to say to low light? Dancing lights.
Yes, investigation would be a great idea.
You guys saunter down there with your dancing lights up and about. And it's a derelict chapel lost to time in a gloomy fen. The building's wooden framing rotted away long ago, leaving a looming skeleton of lichen-covered stone and a lone tower. There's a swampy lake on both sides of it. Like, it's the left and the right-hand side. You can still get to the front stairs. And then there is a chapel floor, but the walls have all crumbled in, so you can see straight across. And then the chapel tower itself looks like it has a couple of floors.
Do I notice anything of significance walking through it?
But you're just walking up to it. Are you entering chapel grounds?
Yes, I like to enter and look around and see what's what.
Yeah.
As you enter the chapel grounds, you do feel a sense of unease, almost a sickly energy. You don't feel good here. You can't imagine if you stayed here for a long time that would be good for you. It's likely you don't want to take a short rest or a long rest here. The residual magic of the Black Dragon seems to still be lingering because he just died.
If Densby and Dandelion wishes they could stay outside and I'll rummage through everything quickly and come back out. I don't know if they want to subject themselves to this very uneasy feeling or if they're used to it because I'm around.
Well, Dandy can detect magic, so
that's true.
He's gonna go in to see if he can speed up the finding of things.
Dinspeed wants to see the inside of a dragon's hoard, so
would you like to ride on my shoulders? I'm assuming it's gross inside, so. And I say that to Dinspeed. Right, I'll pick Dinspeed up and pop him up on my other shoulder to Fireclaw.
Everyone roll me a nature check.
It'll be a 17 for Dinspeed.
Natural 20 for me.
17 as well.
And Zen, you got a natural 20?
Yeah.
Okay. So as you guys approach, you can see on the chapel floor, columns of clammy stone jut like ribs from the chapel's exposed floor, as if in mockery of the sanctity of this once holy place. And the swampy lake on both sides, the foul water stinks of dead fish and rot, while the dense foliage and scraggly trees along the shoreline writhe with scuttling, slithering fauna, all kind of like snakes and disgusting bullshit that's hiding just beyond your vision. A thick blanket of fog also covers the water and the surrounding area. There shouldn't be fog, naturally, so it must be from the dragon's corrupting influence. With your guys' nature checks, you also know, too, that the Black Dragon likely slept in the lake. Usually dragons like to sleep where their hoard's at. You do notice there is an entrance to the chapel tower when you get to the chapel floor, and there is also stairs descending below the chapel floor.
Look all around this area.
I was going to say, do I sense magic?
In general, yes. But that's because this whole area is deemed as the dragon's lair. There's residual magic because he just died.
So I can't see the faint aura of any other magical items.
What is the distance on that?
30 feet.
Currently, no.
Do you guys wish to walk around here? And I will go look where he slept, since we like to carry our things where we nap.
Do you breathe underwater?
No, but I can swim in general.
Oh. Okay.
I was just going to hold my breath, so.
Before we continue, Andy, roll me an Arcana check.
19.
Okay, you know with your detect magic, if something's below the water or below the chapel floor, you're not going to be able to detect it unless you're on the same floor. The water is going to more or less block your ability to detect things, kind of like lead detects or lead thwarts scrying. And this, the floor of the chapel is likely made of really thick stone, which will do the same.
But it says the spell can penetrate most barriers.
Does it give an example?
But it is blocked by 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, a thin sheet of lead, or 3 feet of wood or dirt.
Right.
But water, it doesn't say anything about water.
That's why I'm telling you right now, because I just did this with Brandon's character in the other campaign.
Okay.
Water is a barrier.
Would my duck have a swimming speed? Is this a foul creature?
Yes.
They dive.
They dive for a couple seconds. That's true.
Well, I wasn't sure how deep. I would figured it would be as deep as, like, obviously a horse just standing. So, like, 17 hands, which is probably, like, 2 or 3 yards.
Horse nerd.
Sorry, I know. I'm a weirdo.
Anyways.
I know weird facts about random things.
Ducks only dive about their body length and then come back up.
Some of them do.
You would leave your items on the shore just in case they weighed you down or...
Okay.
Because this is... The water is very swampy. So you're going to be swimming through shit, which means that the stuff that's hanging off your body would likely catch and snack on things, which would result in you drowning.
Then I will definitely look at Densby and I'm like, will you watch my things while I search this water?
Yes, but I'm going to be looking around up here so they don't need constant babysitting, right?
No, of course not. I leave the duck on the shore to do whatever it wants, and I put the dragon on her or his shoulder, and that will she will just sit there.
Fireclaw and pet her a little bit.
Yeah, and Fireclaw will definitely nuzzle into you because you're the very sensible person in the group.
Okay, so Dinsby's going to be investigating. Zen's going to be swimming. Dandy, what are you doing?
Well, apparently Dandy's not sensible, so...
You have your own dragon.
Dandy's gonna go check out the basement.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What? Whoa, whoa, what?
Why are you going down onto a separate level without waiting for any of us?
Well, we're just checking it out, right?
That's basically the entrance to a dungeon. Come on now.
What?
I turn back over my shoulder and I look at Daniel and I'm like, sensible. And then I go back to like waiting to dive in after they're done with their conversation.
Just wait for the beefcake to be done diving, Dandy. Come on.
Fine. Can I go look at the tower?
All right. I start searching in the water.
Yeah, roll me an athletics check.
Woo, athletics. I'm really good at that. 24.
Okay, you swim down there. It's really hard to see down here. There's a lot of just underwater bullshit down here. Like the swampy sticks and algae and, you know, whatever lives in swamps, it's here. You eventually get to the bottom. It's down low. What is your constitution? Determine how long you can hold your breath.
Normal constitution is 19.
What's the modifier with that?
+4.
Okay, so you can hold your breath for 5 minutes. So you, since you're quickly swimming with that athletics check, you get to the bottom, and there is treasure down here. It looks like he did keep his loot underwater.
Is it all like coin, or are there items?
Well, remember, in this world, there's no coin.
Oh, that's true. So they're just... tons of items. Okay.
There's a bunch of different items, but you can't identify or really see what they are right now just because of how murky and dark it is down here.
Okay. I will definitely just like grab a bear hug full of things and just go back up. Like, just kind of random grab shit.
I will say there's several chests.
Oh, okay.
It looks like the dragon had the forethought to seal things down here, or mm-hmm. just keep them in chests. I'll say you can take one chest at a time without being weighed down too much.
Even with my strength being a 20 plus 5?
Yeah. Have you ever tried swimming one-handed?
Well, yeah. I did swimming strength training, so.
It's hard, huh?
Once I got past like 50 pounds, it started to get harder.
Right. You're pushing the limit of how long you can hold your breath as well.
That's true. Okay. Well, do I know how many chests are down there?
Nope. You can't see.
All right. I bring a chest up and I come out of the water. There are tons of chests down there. Not sure the number, but I can bring them all up if you want. It's up to you guys. It could be good. It could be bad. Tell me now.
Den brings up this chest. That's a pretty meaty sized chest. Definitely both Dinsby and Dandy could fit inside the chest.
Well, if you're willing to go down and keep bringing them up, I'd say do as many as you can.
I can do. I will just keep doing it repeatedly until I don't. How big is the water area?
It's large. It's very large.
Okay, I'll go back to where I was if I can figure that out. And I'll just keep grabbing chests till like when I'm down there and I'm down to where like, oh, I need to breathe, and I'll go back, swim straight back up and go down one more time. And if I can't find anything within that 5 minutes, then I'll just be like, okay, that's all I could find.
Roll me an investigation check.
Investigation. I am very good at that as well. Yeah. I got 22. Sorry, 23.
You're going to need to roll me another 4 athletics checks.
Okay, can do. 22 for one, 23 for another, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 21 for the next one. How many? That was 3.
Tony says 4.
Okay, so one more. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 19 for the last one. I have a plus 5 for my athletics.
So you get the rest of the chests up without issue. You being the beefcake that you are, you swim. It does take a while because this is a very large area, but for the most part, he kept them roughly within the same spot so you could sleep among his things. So among them, you guys start cracking open the chests.
I want to knock one since I just learned that spell.
Okay. They were sealed and they were locked. You cast knock on it and it just and pops right open. The seal immediately breaks and the lock clicks open. Inside, this chest is packed full of stuff. There's a trio of gemstones that are the size of apples that have symbols of Tiamat carved on them. There is a set of 12 metal discs the size of dinner plates that have the lost secret to forging an alloy imbued with arcane potential. There is a skull of a fiend. There is a crude flute in there. When you fuck around and play with it, you don't sense any magic from it, so it feels safe enough to play with it. The flute does make a pleasing sound, but it looks real crude and primitive. And then there is a map showing the dragon's lair in relation to villages and other long gone landmarks.
Ooh, definitely give that to Den's beat.
I do a history check on, I've been wanting to do this. Can I do a history check on the chapel or temple that we're standing in right now, and then a history check on the map as well?
Sure.
Yeah. Here's for the area we're in currently. That's a 13.
You're not sure. This has been a derelict chapel for many decades.
Okay. And for the map, That is a 19.
It's likely the map was from the same era that the chapel was. You'd wager probably most of these items came from the chapel itself, and the dragon didn't go out to get them. It shows long gone markers from decades ago, likely ruins that you could go explore, or other dragon lairs that have been there for a long time. It shows the dragon's lair in relation to villages, but there haven't been full villages and towns for years and years and years and years and years. That's just not a thing anymore.
Yeah, using the information from the map, can I make an assumption about how old the map is?
Roll me an intelligence check.
Can I help out with the information network I have?
Sure.
That was a horrible roll.
Oh, well, roll again. I'm helping you out because I got my information network.
Zenizari may have heard a thing or two.
Another horrible roll.
Aw.
A total of 7.
It is old. Older than you. Older than many of you. Probably older than all of you combined.
All right.
to crack open the other chests, they are sealed and locked. So I'm going to need a dexterity check to unlock it and a strength check to open it.
Well, I have one more knock, so I'll knock the next one.
Okay. Pops open. This was a smaller chest. And inside, it's, as you knock it, you realize the chest is very ornately made. And inside is just ashes. It looks like the inside had a name engraved on it, but it's been scratched out. And you get the feeling this is more likely a funerary urn than it is a loot.
Uh-oh. This isn't grave dirt, is it?
Probably the ashes. Zen will definitely close it.
It is ashes.
Yeah, Zen will close it and just set it to the side.
Nope.
Zen will very definitely give him a look of don't mess with the dead.
What Danny's gonna do.
Mess with the dead.
Okay, there's a couple more. There's 3 more chests.
I'll definitely do the opening part if someone wants to do the messing with a lock. I mean, I can brute force it, but if anyone can finesse it.
I don't do well with opening locks non-magically, and I'm out of that spell now.
Okay, what do you have to roll to unlock it?
So if you have... There are various tools that can help you with both unlocking and breaking the seal.
So I have thieves' tools.
Are you proficient with thieves' tools?
It's in my tool list. Don't know if I'm proficient. It doesn't say if I'm proficient or not.
Are you looking at your proficiency list?
I'm on the website, so how would I click that? Or it says proficiencies and languages, and under tools, it has my alchemy supplies, my dragon chess set, my thieves tools, and my tinkerer's tools. So does that mean I'm proficient in it?
Yes.
Okay, then yeah, I'm proficient in the thieves tools.
And you have a set of thieves tools on you?
Yes.
Okay. So that means you get to roll with advantage.
Okay, and is that just a flat d20?
No, it's a dexterity check with advantage.
Oh, dexterity check. Okay.
And with the thieves' tools, you get your proficiency bonus. So you get a +3.
So +3 + 5 = 18.
Why +5?
Oh, I got a 10, and then I have a +5 to my dexterity, and then a +3 for my proficiency.
I am looking at your dexterity right now, and it says +3. Your strength is +5.
You said a, sorry, then a 16. I was looking at the save, so I got confused for a second.
Okay.
My bad.
That is enough to definitely unlock the lock on this box. Dinsbeat and Dandy, you are impressed. Zenizari is not only thick, but she's also deft with her hands.
Oh, wow, Zen. Nice.
Do I have to roll a strength to actually open it, or does it work fine?
No, now you have to break the seal on it. So now it requires an athletics check to break it open. If you have tools like a crowbar, that could give you advantage.
No, unless Tinkerer Tools or Alchemist Tools has a crowbar in it, then
They do not.
Okay. Roll 18 for my athletics check.
Easily pop it open.
Woo!
There's another smaller box, and it has a set of 10 gems. And then I have a list of the different types of gems there are.
Okay. I guess I'll just keep going. So another dexterity.
Yeah, you have two more chests.
Okay. Another 16 with a dirty 20 for the strength. And then a 17 for the lock. And a 19 for the strength.
Okay. You get the next two open easily. The first one has potion of climbing, two potions of standard healing, a spell scroll. I have this all posted in Discord. So don't stress about writing it down right now. Two potions of standard healing, a spell scroll of acid splash, and a drift globe. There's also a lantern of revealing, a spell scroll of enemy objects, potion of frost giant strength, potion of vitality, oil of sharpness, a bag of holding, you think? Needs to be identified. And three jars look like they contain pickled monsters, all of which are magical. And the last chest has a pound of raw platinum.
Well, I vote to give all the scrolls to Densbeat to learn, for sure.
Thank you.
This bag seems interesting to me, and the Lantern of Revealing sounds fun.
Let me backtrack a little bit. This is assuming that you guys are spending time to identify everything. Dandy has identified, correct?
Yeah, I was going to put it in front of him. Can you tell me what this is?
So that'll take a while because it's a ritual casting for every item. It only does an item, not group casting.
Okay. I mean, I assume we're going to sit here for a little while since I was there for a while getting the stuff out of the water.
Then you do find that bag of holding is actually called Bob.
Ooh, what does Bob do?
So Bob is a wondrous legendary item. This is Bob. Bob is a bag of holding. Bob is always in a bad mood and likes to cheer itself up by surprising whoever is using him with useless angry animals. Bob is an arsehole. Don't be like Bob.
Oh.
Mechanics, this bag functions the same as a standard bag of holding, but the bag is possessed by a mischievous spirit. Whenever you reach into the bag to retrieve an item, there is a chance that instead of the item, you'll get a random animal. The animal behaves like an angry, surprised animal that would naturally behave. Additionally, the bag would eject a random animal at the worst possible time.
Oh.
All right, so we good if I give Bob for my debt? All right, so I'm definitely going to give Bob to my debt holder for my chess piece.
Okay, well, you'll have to wait because Bob takes offense to that. He's going to eject an animal, but first...
Well, I'm not going to tell Bob.
Bob can hear you.
No, he can't. I whispered. And Bob is still in a chest.
No, he's not. You just had to identify him.
Oh, well, I'm going to whisper it to them.
Okay, well, an animal's getting ejected.
All right, fine.
With the pickled monsters, they're called Jar of Monsters. There is an uncommon, a very rare, and a rare. Each one has a monster in it that you can unleash, and it'll work for you, and then eventually return to the jar.
Hey, that sounds like things I already have.
Neat.
My goodness.
There is one that is actually a danger, and that's the Jar of Monsters that's very rare, and it has a dehydrated basilisk in it.
Ooh, that's cool.
Basilisk is difficult to control, and it has a 10% chance of turning on you each time you use it.
I am very intrigued on these jars.
10 percentage points too high chance of turning on me.
I wouldn't use the jar, but I want the jar. Very interested in having the jars.
Uncommon one is has a shrunken hawk in it. This taxidermied bird can become a hawk for 12 hours, and then it returns to the jar. And then the last one is a mummified grick. This shrunken and emaciated corpse can become a Grick for up to 1 hour.
What is a Grick? I have no idea what that is.
Let me educate you.
Yes, please. That's why I asked.
Sassy.
Hey.
Oh, looks like Dandy gets the jar.
Gricks are fucking terrifying. They look like a land kraken. If a land kraken instead of an octopus, they're a snake. This worm-like monstrosity blends in with the rock in the, of the caverns it haunts. When prey comes near, its barbed tentacles unfurl to reveal its hungry, snapping beak.
Oh my goodness, it's like the movie.
No tremors. Tremors is bad.
100%.
Definitely interested in the jar. The jar sounds great, and the globe of the drift globe. Zenizari is very interested in what these things are. She very much wants them.
The drift globe basically allows you to cast light. Drift globes are pretty handy.
Oh, I'll give that to Andy because he can't see in the dark like I can.
This will save you some spell slots. Drift globe is
thank you.
Pretty dope.
Yeah, I hand him that and I grab the jars and walk away.
Okay, Dandy, did you stop from investigating the tower?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know how long it takes to pull up each chest out of the lake.
30 minutes of looking around, because I feel like that's how long it would take me to get all 5 chests up or something like that.
That's fun.
All right, there you go. You got 30 minutes, and then come back to what we're doing.
The chapel tower has a swollen oak door flanked by worn carvings of noble warriors. Opens into the dank stone tower, which stands empty except for a chipped staircase that climbs to a second floor. Climb all the way up.
Sure. Is my detect magic still working?
It only lasts for a minute, doesn't it?
Let me double check. Duration, concentration, up to 10 minutes.
As you're hanging out outside, Dandy just goes on and keeps exploring. He doesn't go down, but he goes up. So he ignored you. Dandy, you climb the stairs, and it goes up to a second floor and then ends in midair before reaching the crumbling third level. Mold-covered emblems of knights kneeling before angelic beings line the stairway, going all the way up.
Hmm, neat.
And then, Dinsby, you want to roll an investigation check on the area?
Yes, please. I've been waiting.
Go ahead.
Oh my gosh, 7.
So nothing of interest is out here. It's either underwater or underground or in the tower. Most of the critters that are around here, it seems that they have fled. Like you see like a snake or two slither through bushes or you see some movement, but not much. And it seems like the natural fauna or wildlife that's been hanging out here.
Sense that most of them would flee if this is a dragon's home, was a dragon's home.
Unless they were cool with the dragon. The dragon's not going to sit here and comb the bushes for snakes and spiders and what have you. Not when he can go eat people.
Yeah, that's true.
And with that, we will stop tonight's game.
Hello, and well met. My name is Kragnar the Bold. It's been a pleasure having you around, and I do hope you return. Thank you for taking the time to stop by and listen to the episode. Please, follow us on your various social medias, rate us, review us, and stay tuned for the next epi coming out June 22nd. Voices you heard tonight were as follows. Dinsbeat was by Nicole, Zenizari by Jasper, Dandelion by Zachary Spangler, and our DM running the show was Tony Spangler. Farewell, friends.